Father God, we do thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We do exalt your name. But Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and will fulfill that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word would not return void. But Father God, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, we'll take forth the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but in your strength and your power and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that's here this morning. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here or anyone is watching that needs a touch from God, that anointing will touch them physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. We just stir that anointing up this morning. We thank you for it. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, like Mom said, it's a beautiful day outside. You know, it's always nice to have a great day. Do want to say a few things before I start my sermon this morning. Some of you might have seen it on the news, but Rhema Bible Church had a great opportunity this week to be a help to the city of Tulsa. And we flew Officer Zarkashan home from Denver to Tulsa. For some of you that might not be from the Tulsa area or might not know what happened, back in June, we had a tragic shooting one early morning where Officer Zarkashan, or Officer Zark they call him, he was shot in the head and also in the leg. Unfortunately, Sergeant Craig Johnson was also shot and he died. Officer Zarky had some life-threatening injuries, but praise God he recovered, and they sent him to a place called Craig Hospital, great name, in the Denver area. And if any of you know about that hospital, they are number one in any kind of traumatic brain injuries. And they were able to rehabilitate him. And I'm telling you that the man is a walking, talking miracle. You know, amen. It's so awesome. And, at first I didn't know whether he, you know, would be able to get on the airplane, whether he might have some kind of brain damage or whatever. Then I started watching some videos, and I mean, this guy can move better than I can. And I don't know if you realize this. I mean, most people do not survive a shot to the head. And if they do, they usually have some kind of brain injury. You know, they're a little slow to speak and things like that. And, you know, many people say, well, is he a member of the church? Or, you know, how'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened, exactly how it happened. I was sitting at my desk one day, and I got a phone call. It happened to be from one of my lifelong friends, also fellow Rhema graduate, who happens to be a Tulsa city council man. He's District 5, Cass Fahler. And he gave me a call, and he said, and he was called on behalf of the city. He said, do you think it would be possible if you guys could use your aircraft to bring home Officer Zark? He works very closely with the Tulsa Police Department. And so I said, well, I think we could probably do that. Let me, you know, talk with our parents, and we did, and we're excited to do it. You know, I believe as a church or even as a ministry that we should be a support to our city and to our community, and you know, just do what we can. And it was a privilege to do that, you know, for the city of Tulsa and the Tulsa Police Department. You know, right now our police departments all over America, I wouldn't want to be a policeman. I mean, all the verbal abuse and all the, you know, stuff, even physical abuse in some cities. I mean, they already have a tough job. You know, I mean, you know, the other part, sorry about, they chose to have this job. I mean, people already do not like the police in some areas of the country, and it's much worse now. But, you know, it was a great honor and a great privilege. You know, there was nothing like, you know, seeing him. And he's like, if you want to, I actually recorded some video of the inside of the airplane. No one's seen, you know, that video unless you went to the Rainbow Bible Church on Facebook app or on my personal Facebook app. And we talked. The very first thing he said he wanted to do, he's been there for 3.5 months, and he says, I want to go to Whataburger. I miss Whataburger. They don't have Whataburgers in the Denver area, and he hasn't had a Whataburger in a long time. The other thing he wanted to do is see his dogs, all right? And those typical things that probably, you know, there's probably a favorite restaurant that you'd want to go to if you haven't been here in a while. But the most important thing is I just want to get home. You know, I just want to get home and be back in Tulsa. But, I mean, it was just a great sight that when we landed, you know, there, all the, I mean, not all, but a number of the people from the police department and the media were there, as well as the mayor, and they were so excited. Not the whole city of Tulsa so excited. And it was a wonderful time, and just great to be a blessing. And, you know, it was you guys that are being a blessing. You know, it's not my aircraft, it's your aircraft. Belongs to Raymond. So now some people want to be a blessing if there's a catch. Notice if you read anything, it says he was brought to Tulsa by private aircraft. Doesn't say whose private aircraft, not about whose it is. It's not about getting name recognition. It's about doing the right thing and being a blessing. You know, my grandfather always says, he said, I've never asked the Lord to bless me, but every day I've asked the Lord to make me a blessing. You know, and it's about being a blessing. It's not about notoriety, not about calling a press conference to say, well, this is what we're going to do, you know, so we can pat ourselves on the back. Because it's not about that. It's about being a help, being, you know, what's our motto? Bringing help, hope, and healing to the world. You know, well, part of the world starts in your community. If you can't reach your community, you'll never be able to reach the world. And so, you know, it starts, you know, where you are. In fact, you got to save your household before you can save the rest of the world. And that's what, you know, it always starts at home. And it was just a great blessing. You know, and if you haven't seen some video, all the news channels covered it, you know, as well. And another thing was really nice to see we just got our airplane painted in July. It's the first time I've seen it, and it looked really nice. All right, you know, I think it's been 15 years, and said we should have probably painted it after 7. You know, they tell you it takes, you know, 7 or 8 years, but at Rama we do everything. We get as much as we can out of everything, you know, to have to. But I tell you, it looks sharp. I mean, you know, I guess we dressed it all up just so it could be on TV. And so, because it was great, I saw a picture, and it was Officer Zark coming out. He's standing there, you know, just waving his hand, and you know, and the picnic plane looked really nice. And that's your plane, guys, so you should be proud of it. You know, we use that plane to go around the world to minister the gospel. And that's how we are, you know, bring hope and help and healing to the world. And it's exciting. It was an exciting time. But one more exciting thing is Officer Zark said, you know, give me a few weeks to kind of get my, you know, get back in the groove of things. And I would like to personally come to your church and say thank you. So, you know, I don't know when it's going to be, you know, and, you know, a few weeks might be a month or two. I mean, I don't know, but at some point in time, he wants to come here and he wants to say thank you. Probably tell you a little bit about, you know, what went on, because, I mean, like I said, he's a walking, talking miracle. And to God be the glory. Amen. 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 Well, we'll start with my sermon today. We're going to kick it old school in the King James Version of the Bible, all right? I know Brother Doug Jones will be happy about that. Some of you. Anyway, we're going to read. The scripture obviously should be very familiar to most of you, but we're going to teach on this scripture. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the King James Version. And I like to read from this version because if I didn't read from this version, I really couldn't preach this sermon because the word is only in this version that I want to use. It says this, we're going to read it first of all. Therefore, this is Jesus talking once again. Sometimes we need to remember, and sometimes maybe we need to be reminded whenever we read our Bible. If it happens to be red letters, it's Jesus talking. And I think things are more important when we know it was Jesus talking than other people talking. You know, I don't care what I say. What matters is what Jesus says. Amen? So Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever, you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I'm sure many of you have read this scripture, quoted the scripture, seen this scripture many times, you know, especially being here at Rhema. I can't count how many times that I've heard this scripture preached on here and all over the world. But this scripture still brings forth life today. Now, the scripture says, what things soever you desire. And today I want to focus on that word desire. That word desire. Because, you know, what you desire determines your faith. All right, because we have faith for things that we desire. And if we don't desire it, I don't know if we really want it. I don't know if we really believe we can have it. It comes down to desire. And I've preached on this many, many times, but the Lord just kind of gave me some new things about desire. I decided to look up the word desire. You wrote, desire basically, in a nutshell, according to the dictionary, is a strong want, a strong feeling of want. It's different than just wanting something. It's a strongly wanting something. And so I looked up what they call synonyms. Anyone know what a synonym is? You know, it's another word kind of like. And you know what the first word is? Thirst. Now, I believe that's a very important word because you realize that you cannot live without water. I mean, you can only live a very short time without water. And so, you know, I get it. There's been times that you might say you're thirsty, you know, and because you hadn't had water or any kind of beverage, you know, in a few hours. Some of you can't even operate without your coffee, you know, you have a thirst for coffee. But do you realize that's a whole lot different from people that are thirsty because they can't even have access to water? You know, some of the shows like Survivor or Naked and Afraid, no, it's kind of weird to say that from the platform. But, you know, they're trying to survive, and they don't have any water. And that's the first thing that all of them do is they find a water source. Because without a water source, you're going to die. Now, if the word desire is like the word thirst, that means you're going to do whatever necessary in order to achieve, you know, I mean, our goal in life, if we're thirsty, is to achieve what we call unthirst. Right? I mean, you're going to achieve finding some kind of source of water or liquid or, you know, something to drink because you're thirsty. Anyone ever been thirsty? Now, the Bible says we should be thirsty for the things of God. And that's another word saying we should desire the things of God. Now, another synonym is the word hunger. Now, you can go longer without food, but eventually you want it. But I'm telling you what, if you want food and don't have food or can't eat food, you get cranky, you get rude, you get angry, you go bonkers. You know, if you've seen some of those rally shows, I mean, these people without, you know, without water and food, I mean, they're going crazy. I mean, they're starting to hallucinate and things. I mean, because eventually you have to have that food to survive. Now, I'm saying this because when we see the word desire, we don't think about, man, we have to have it to survive. But that's the mindset we have to have when we're believing God and trusting God for something. You know, another word actually, another synonym is the word passion. You know, people say they're passionate for it. I mean, you know, it's their life mission. Do you realize today in the millennial generation are passionate for certain causes? Everybody has to have a cause. You know, I heard a guy comment and says, well, you know, I don't buy anything unless there's a cause behind it. You know, I'll pay $6 for a candy bar because I know I'm helping some, you know, help them drill more wells in Africa or something like that. Or, you know, I'll buy Tom's shoes because I know when I buy a pair of shoes, somebody else gets a pair of shoes. I mean, have you seen these companies? I mean, that's a big thing now is to help. It's good to be a help, you know, but sometimes you just want cheap shoes, so. But, you know, it seems that this generation is all about passion for something. But see, that's the same kind of thing that we have to have, you know, when it comes to our faith for whatever it might be. Now, many of you have heard my grandfather's story. You know, he was there on the deathbed, you know, partially paralyzed and at one time waiting to die. And he got a hold of these scriptures. And he read the scriptures. It says that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And he began to talk to Jesus. You know, sometimes we should talk to Jesus. I mean, I don't know if it was really a prayer because I mean, it was more of a statement, but sometimes maybe we need to have a statement of our faith. And he said to Jesus, he says, Lord, I desire a well body more than any other thing in this world. In fact, if you were here standing in front of me in person, you understand he is always here. You realize that the whole concept is we accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior. I mean, it's part of saying the prayer. And the Bible tells us that wherever we are, he's there also. It says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So he's always there. But my grandfather said, if you were here physically, if I could see you, and you were to tell me that you don't desire a well body, I'd have to call you a liar. Because I desire a well body more than anything. At that moment, he heard the Lord say, well, what do well people do in the morning time? And my grandfather said, they get up. So he did. You know, sometimes we just got to get up. Sometimes we have to just quit complaining, quit asking, well, how come it hadn't happened, or when's it going to happen, or how's it going to happen, and just make it happen. Get up. Do you realize, I believe personally, I wouldn't even be here if he would have never got up. Because if my grandfather had passed, my dad wouldn't be here. So I wouldn't be here. All right? Praise God he got up. You know, you never think about getting out of bed might, you know, change somebody's life. Getting out of bed might change someone's life. And I'm talking about someone else's life, not just your life. But we said whenever he got up, he held the bedposts, and he said then all of a sudden he felt pins and needles hit the top of his head and flow throughout his body. Said it was oozing like honey. Said if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad. Because it said, and it was what it was is his nerves all waking up. See, not only did he get out of bed, his nerves woke up at the same time. Maybe somebody need to wake up your nerves as well. And another thing he told the Lord, which I didn't get to, he told the Lord, if you'll get me out of this bed, I'll preach the gospel till the day I die. And that's what he did, and that's what he's still doing. His books and his CDs and his videos are still going around the world, changing people's life, even after he passed away. And so many of us who learn from him, you know, have impacted the world as well. Sorry, I don't mean to be emotional, but it's pretty awesome. Thank God he got up. But my point is, when are you going to get up? When are you going to desire enough to get up? You know, I started thinking about, now, desire, a lot of times when people have goals and desires, we write them down. I mean, how many of you have written down some goals and desires? Well, thank you, because that's one of the first things I told you to do this year, to write some goals and desires down. But you know what? A lot of people have desires and goals, and they don't write them down, you know, because but it's obvious by watching their lifestyle. Now, a desire is something that you have that you're willing to sacrifice everything else to get that. How many times have we seen people in business that desired to be a success, and they desired it so much that they even maybe lost a marriage, maybe lost their family to be a successful person? They were willing to sacrifice everything to make it happen. See, that's the kind of passion we have to have when we're believing God for our healing, for our finances, for whatever it might be. And I begin to think about 2020, the best year ever. 2020's been a great year for me. I don't know about you, but it's been a great year for me. I've had great opportunities. God's blessed me in every way. But I'm here to tell you, I want to go on record early on that 2021 is going to be way better. Why is it going to be better? Because I say it's going to be better. Because I desire it to be better. I believe it. But I confess every day, actually, to full disclosure, multiple times a day, that 2020 is a great year, best year ever. Do you know sometimes whenever you hear some negative news, here's the thing, this is what I do. I mean, you don't have to do everything I do, but a lot of times when I hear negative news, like, you know, the COVID rate's going up or whatever, I actually speak positive news to my television set. I said, 2020 is the best year ever. Because, you know, I don't care that guy told me a negative thing. You know, I don't live for negativity. I live in positivity. I'm a positive person. You know, the Bible says right here, I can have what I say. I can have the desires of my heart. Well, I don't have a desire to have a crummy year. It's not my desire. But, you know, I begin to think and on what does it seem that the biggest desire for people all over the U.S., I'm not just talking about this classroom, I mean the classroom, sorry, I'm used to teaching the classroom. I'm not talking about people just here. I'm talking about people all over the U.S. And all over the world, you know, for that matter. You know what the biggest desire of 2020 has been? To not die from COVID. And I know that sounds funny, but do you realize that many people have pretty much made that their biggest desire in 2020 is to survive? Now, some of you, maybe it's not about, it's just to survive the year. You know, I'm not about surviving, I'm about thriving. You know, and I know that I'm not dependent upon anything. I put my trust in my God. And my God cannot and will not fail me. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they say actions speak louder than words. I mean, yes, I desire to live, but I don't really think about dying from COVID. It doesn't cross my mind. It's just, I mean, it's kind of like having the attitude, but I've heard people have the attitude, well, you know, somebody has to catch it, or we all have to catch it sooner or later. I don't believe that. You know, I really don't. I mean, especially anyone who followed my grandfather's ministry, you know, how many times did he tell us that he didn't catch a headache? Remember? He says that I haven't had a headache since August of 1933. And then he'd always would say, but I've had marvelous opportunities. And a marvelous opportunity, what he told me, was that his head would start hurting. And when his head would start hurting, he would take authority based upon the word of God. And whenever he said it, he believed that his head would quit hurting. And you know what? It quit hurting because he had what he said. Because see, if you've walked off your deathbed, a headache is no issue. See, See, when you've been faced with challenges, that the doctor says it was his pure will and pure desire to live that he was able to even get out of bed. No, it was his desire to serve God and how good God is and how awesome God is, and as a testimony unto God of his power and his ability. But when you've been faced with that, a headache is no big deal. All right, and you know, so he didn't accept headaches. You know, you just don't accept it. Someone tries to hand it to you, you don't have to take it. You know, some people just take. Did you realize if you stood on the street in a busy place, let's say, well, it used to be a busy place, I'm not sure, probably not as busy now, but just for a thing, you know, everyone's seen Times Square, you know, when they drop the ball, whatever. So let's say you're standing in the middle of Times Square, bunch of people there, just pre-COVID days. If you realize if you start handing out something, whatever it is, people will take it without even asking. People just take it. You know, but you don't always have to take it. You don't always have to take it. You know, you can just let it go. Say, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. And but a lot of people's desire has been to survive COVID. Now, going back to saying everyone has to have it, do you realize that every time I get into my car, just like I got my car to come on the way here, I expect to drive to my location without getting in an accident? I'm sure many of you did too. You know, but everyone has an accident every once in a while. You know, it happens to everyone. We're all going to have one. Let's just have one. You know, that wasn't your attitude. My attitude was, I'm going to drive to church and not get in the wreck. Now, it doesn't mean you don't pay attention while you're driving. It doesn't mean you don't follow the rules of the road when you're driving as well. We got to do that. You know, it's the same way with COVID. We need to take precautions, but we don't have to let it destroy our life. But it just seems to people, I mean, their desire is not to get COVID. And because they put that as their first desire in life, every other desire they had, they're not even thinking about it. If you really desire something, you think about it a lot. Because remember, if you're thirsty or you're hungry, you're thinking about that a lot. I mean, that's always on your mind. You know, and that's the same thing with desire. When you desire something, you're thinking about it a lot. If there's something that I call what I call a faith project. Now, you know, when it comes to healing, when it's a healing faith project, it's really kind of easy, because if your arm hurts, then every time you bump that arm, you're going to say, ouch. And you're going to remember that your faith project is to believe God for that healing of that arm. You know, and every time, you know, I bump that arm, I would say, thank you, Father, my arm is healed in the name of Jesus. Now, when it comes to finances, it's not always that easy. And that's why I always tell people, if it comes to, like, you know, if you're believing God for a car or for a home or whatever, I mean, you know, put a picture of a car or put a picture of a house in front of you at all times. Make it your wallpaper. Keep your goal in front of you. If you really desire it. And it's interesting, you know, like I said, we have wants and we have desires. You know, you might want ice cream or you might want a steak, but you might desire a new car. Because obviously you might desire a healthy body. That's first and foremost. You know, wants are easy, but desires are different. And that's why I like the New King James, because the word desire is not in the other versions. They replace it with the word want. Well, this is not just a want, it's a desire. And a desire is something different. It's something different. But like I said, desire is willing to sacrifice everything to get the one thing that you desire. Now, I mean, let's think about this. I mean, athletes, do you realize that athletes sacrifice their body to win a championship? Now, obviously, if you're a pro athlete, you know, you might have the glory of winning a championship and you know, having a Super Bowl ring or World Series ring or the, you know, winning the Stanley Cup or whatever. You know, and that's great, but you realize that people at all levels sacrifice their body just to win the game? There's some of you that I know that never played college sports, you know, and you're still walking around with injuries, nursing injuries, that you played even on a team that probably lost most of the time. You know, I remember 1 year playing flag football, and I played flag football a lot, and we always had a staff team that always beat most of the students, the staff team always won the championship, because staff were smarter than the students, I guess, I don't know. Better athletes, you know, everyone was all older, but they're more wiser or something, I don't know, just how it was. And so 1 year, I told Byron, I said, you know, I don't want to be on the staff team. I want to coach a team full of Rhema students, you know, and we're going to just try to do our best. So that's what I did. I coached a team, you know, I'm the oldest one on the team, the slowest one on the team, you know, and out there to do our best. I remember one time, I mean, remember, I'm the slowest guy, the oldest guy. I wasn't quite as big as I am now, but still was, you know, I have been really, really skinny when I was growing up, but, you know, I was still chunky. And so I had a guy, now we're playing flag football, so you know, you don't tackle someone, you grab their flag. Well, a few times people accidentally get tackled, sometimes on purpose accidentally, but you know, there is a penalty. But sometimes it's worth the penalty. You guys play flag football, you can say amen. I got a penalty once, but the guy didn't score. Actually, I think he went out of the ball game for a short time. All right. But there was a play, and this guy caught a pass, started running for a touchdown. So obviously, you catch a pass and you're running for a touchdown, I'm going to chase after you. And I noticed that everybody else, the ones that were faster than me, they quit chasing. And it was just me chasing this guy down. Now, the thing about it is, because this guy thought he had a touchdown in the clear, he kind of slowed down a little bit, and guess what? At the 1 yard line, guess who caught his flag? Me. Now, this is another story inside a story. Do you know why I didn't quit? Because that's my dad's motto. It's all I've been taught all my life. Is to, you know, you don't quit. You know, there's no disrespect in losing. There is disrespect in quitting. We don't quit. We never quit. Now, I get it. They scored the next play. And probably, you know, in the grand scheme of things, why chase the guy? Because you know what? If I wouldn't have chased him. Now if he would have scored and I wouldn't have chased him, then as soon as I turned around, I would have thought about my dad. And how I disappointed him by not chasing the guy. By not quitting. I mean, by quitting. You know, because I've learned on the inside, because I know, in fact, if you want that motto, you can go get one on your wrist. There's a bracelet out there that says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. You know, and that's the attitude I live by, the attitude my kids live by. That's the attitude that, you know, has been in me all my life. I don't quit. I don't quit. But I don't want to disappoint my father. You know, some of us, it's interesting. We read the word, we know the word, but we still quit. Do you realize Hebrews 11:6 tells us it's impossible to please God without faith? I don't know how many times I've seen people having faith projects and they quit. Now, God's not going to whip you over the rear end, you know, for doing it. But, you know, my heavenly father is just like my earthly father. He gives me rules that I should follow, and I should do everything I can to follow those rules and to give it all I got. Now, coming back to sacrificing over to desire, this team here, one time we had a halftime talk. This was Craig's halftime pump you up talk. We're losing. Now, remember, I said desire is you sacrifice everything you can toward reaching a goal. So I looked at him. I said, you guys are all way younger than me. See, I have a knee brace on. I'm hurting right now. I know every time I play a football game that I'm going to be sore. You know, I'm going to gripe at my wife tonight and tomorrow. I didn't say that part. You know, but I come out here to have fun with you guys knowing well and good, then I'm going to hurt. That's even not getting injured, okay? We're not talking about breaking a leg, straining something. We're just talking about playing football. You know, I'm going to be sore. And, you know, we all get sore. But, you know, when you're older, it's you get sore. And so here's the deal, guys. If you guys don't want to play as hard as you can, I'm going to go home. And you guys can go play, you know, by yourselves. So we're either going to play 100% or we're just going to quit. I don't ever quit. And of course, obviously, we wouldn't ever quit. But I just wouldn't show up the next week or the next week or the next week. Now, this is flag football. Now, how much more so to have that same desire when it comes to the things, you know, that I do? It's not really about what God desires. It's about what you desire. You realize some people live their life like this. Well, whatever God wants for me, that's what I'll have. Well, the Bible says whatever you desire. So in order to have something, you have to have the desire. Now, here at Rhema, we usually talk about a desire toward healing or toward finances, because that's usually, you know, normal desire. But you realize you can have a desire in any area. Maybe you have a desire to have a child. Maybe you have a desire, you know, desire for whatever. Maybe you have a desire to go on vacation in Tahiti. Maybe your desire is to go on a cruise. 2021 is a year for you. Guarantee you can go on a cruise by yourself. If you want to see social distancing, go on a cruise. They don't have cruises right now, but, you know, but when they do, they'll be the few and the proud. They might not be Marines, but they'll be the few, the proud, the cruisers. You know, think about having the chocolate buffet to yourself. I mean, you know. So anyway, that has nothing to do with my sermon. But there's things that we desire. You know, it's okay to have more than one desire, because some desires are different. You know, maybe, you know, faith should be the most important thing in our life. So maybe we have a faith desire. Second most important thing should be our family. So maybe we have a desire about our family. Maybe we desire our family gets a new house. Or a new car, like they're doing prices right. The way we put it, faith is most important, family, finances, you know, and goes up the ladder. But what do you desire? So the first thing is desire something. Find something out. Now, here's the thing. Do you realize this whole verse 24 is all about praying? Now, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you believe that you receive them when you pray. All right? You believe. You receive them when you pray. Because the Bible says that you're going to have it when you pray. That's what it says right here. Now, first you have to desire, then you have to pray, and you have to believe that when you pray, you're going to receive it. Now, after you pray one time, you don't have to keep praying. You know, a prayer is an ask. And so once you pray, then you start expecting. And many of us were missing it in our expectations. It's just like this, but we have to understand, this is our Heavenly Father. All right, if I went to my dad and I walked up to him, and I don't ask him to borrow, because that's not, you know, if I say, Dad, I need $100, he won't ask me what for. He'll just give me $100. Why? Because he has the wherewithal, because he loves me. You know, now, I already know if I need $1,000, I don't ask my dad, I have to ask my mom, because my dad doesn't have access to the $1,000. My mom does. But, you know, for this thing, we're talking about our Father, relating that to our Heavenly Father. And do you realize that, first of all, I don't ask to borrow. I just ask him for it. And I know he's going to give it to me. Why? Because he loves me. He cares about me. And if I feel that I need that $100, and he knows he can give me that $100, he's going to give me the $100. Now, if I ask him for it every day, he might start asking what I need it for. But he loves me. It's just like last night, we were at the races, and between races, Cameron walked up And he was hungry. Now, you understand, when you go to the racetrack, they don't take debit cards. Everywhere else, it's all they take is debit cards or credit cards. At the races, it's all about cash. Well, when you happen to be 26 years old, you don't carry cash. You know, because why? So obviously he didn't have any cash. So he walked up to me and Dad. He didn't ask me or ask Dad. He just said, I need money for food. You know, he never considered that one of us would not pull our wallet out and give him the money. He probably even never considered that we might want our change back. And sometimes he does. I don't know how many times he's brought me the change. And, you know, so Dad pulled out his thing, his money. And usually what happens is, if I pull my money out, Dad will say, no, you know, because he's my father. And, you know, so, but he loves us enough, and he has the wherewithal to get, and Cameron didn't say, can I borrow $20? Because he didn't need $20 to eat on anyway. But can I borrow money to eat so I give it back to you? No, he didn't do that. He just asked for money. And when he asked, he did not expect us not to do it. You know, but so many times that we, in our own, the way we act, that we don't even expect God to do it because we just keep asking over and over and over again. We don't expect it. You know, it's my desire, but we have to ask him and he's going to give us our desires. You know, and so here's the thing. Once you ask one time, after that, you just thank him for it. Thank him for it. Now, you don't gripe about why you haven't got it yet. You just thank him for it. Because I expect it to happen every time. You know, there's nothing I've ever desired that I didn't expect God to give me. And if I did, that means I really didn't desire it. Because if I really desired it, you would expect it. Your expectations is where many of us are missing it. What do you expect? What do you expect out of life? And what do you expect out of your 2020 or your 2021? What do you expect? You know, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, what do you expect? What do you desire? Because what you desire can determine the outcome. But once you ask him, then you just thank him for it every day, every day, every day. Because you know, because it says right here that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It doesn't say, well, let me pray about it and get back to you. It doesn't say, well, if I can make it happen, I'll make it happen. Now, I understand when it comes to my father that there is a limit to what he can do for me. But you realize that God doesn't have that same limit. Our Heavenly Father does not have a limit. And our Heavenly Father loves us as much or more than our earthly father. And you know, his pockets are open. Now, the only difference is that sometimes we don't always see it immediately. But faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary, is an unquestioning belief. We don't question it, we just believe. Every day. Because remember, if this is something we desire, we're going to remind him every day. And we're going to thank him for it every day. In my case, multiple times a day. Multiple times a day. And if you don't remember any other time, every time I bow my head, whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the afternoon, whether it be every time I pray, we'll claim that. Every time. You know, because I expect it to happen. God wants you to have desires of your heart. Now, let's leave off. In the Old Testament, we'll just go ahead and say in the King James Version since we're already there. Psalms chapter 37, Psalms 37, verse number 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall, not might, not he'll pray about it, not he'll think about it and get back with you. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart or your heart. He should give you desires of your heart. I've heard people say, well, you can't believe for that. Well, why can't I? It's my desire in my heart. Well, I don't see how, I mean, look at where you come from and look at this and look at that, and it cannot happen. What do you mean it cannot happen? So my God cannot make it happen? Let me give you a great testimony. Vidar Lagarde right there. Ray McKenya. You know what he told me yesterday? That Ray McKenya is self-funding. That means the students and the people there, that they're paying all the bills. And didn't you say that last? All right. You know how many times they'll tell you that people in Africa, there's no way. If you're going to minister in Africa, if you're going to teach in Africa, if you're going to have a school in Africa, you're going to have to pay for it. They don't have no money. Well, isn't that an issue with us? Because if we teach them on how to believe God, how to be blessed, they're going to have money. And if they don't have money, then you didn't teach them good. Or they didn't understand, or they didn't desire. But our school at Ray McKenya is self-supporting. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not other things that they need money for. And I encourage you to get a hold of them and be a blessing to them. But that's pretty awesome. When they say it can't be done, God can do it. So never listen to, well, you can't. Can't doesn't exist in the dictionary. I'm sorry, dictionary, in the Bible. Bible dictionary, I mean, can't, my mom's favorite scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So I'm not even allowed to use the word that I can't. Not around my mom, because she'll tell you what the Bible says. All right, so it says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Once again, it says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Now, if it's something that we desire, then we also use Dad's other rule. The natural and the supernatural working together makes an explosive force for God. If it's something you really desire, you're going to do everything you can in the natural. But you know what? God will make that come to pass. If it's a financial situation, then maybe I take an extra job. It's during the holidays or hire some extra people. Or maybe I mow some people's lawns. Or maybe I decide to be an Uber driver. Or maybe I decide to help the lazy people that don't want to drive to get their food, and work for one of the food places that deliver food to you and charge you. Because, you understand when someone delivers food to you, you got to pay for that person. You got to tip that person. Normally if you go to Wendy's, you don't tip them at Wendy's. But if you send a delivery driver to Wendy's, then you have to tip the delivery driver. You're expected to tip the delivery driver. Plus you're paying for the service for that person to go to Wendy's. So you got a Wendy's hamburger for $18. I'm gonna give you a thing. If you're gonna do those kind of driving things, then don't order off the dollar menu. That would even just order extravagantly. Order the whole meal because you're already paying more money for it anyway. You might as well enjoy it. I'm kind of joking, but I'm not joking about looking for a way to earn extra income, because I believe in doing everything in the natural and let God take care of the rest. But I think the most important thing is we have to start desiring something. And when we desire it, we need to think, when we desire it, it's like thirsting for it. It's like hungering for it. It should be our passion. God wants to give you desires of your heart. And if you let him, he will. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you're such a good God and you love us so much and that you desire to give us the good things. And you're always there to help us in every way, to be a blessing for us. But Father God, we thank you for those that are here today that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and as their Savior. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here today that doesn't know him as the Lord and Savior, that before they leave this place this morning, they shall ask him to become Lord and Savior of their life. If you happen to be here this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior And I want to today lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, you know, one time I walked with God, but man, I've been doing things my own way. I've kind of turned my back on it, but today I want to rededicate myself to him. If that's you, if you've never asked the Lord to become Savior of your life, or you need to dedicate your life this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want to let today go by without the most important thing happen. You accept him as Lord and Savior. Anybody here today? I know most of you probably are Christians. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior life. We thank you, Father, for bringing laborers across their path to help them understand how important it is to be saved. And we thank you, Father, for each and every one of them. And we thank you for ministering to them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's all stand up. Next time that there is something in your life that you have a... you know, you have a need for, I want you to not just need it, I want you to desire it. And if you desire it, it will come to pass. Amen? Amen. Well, don't forget, tonight, 6 p.m., right here at Rhema Church Auditorium. Once again, we want to thank those that are here for Rhema College Weekend. We hope you had a wonderful time. You know, like I told you earlier, that you know, we would love it for you to come to Rhema, but we would love it more that if you follow what God's will is and plan for your life is, and knowing what that is really important. And like, if anyone watches online, that you know what, maybe you want to come and learn more about the Bible, or maybe you feel a call to ministry. You know, Rhema Bible Training College is a wonderful place. And actually, if you'll just go to rbtc.org, and you can find more information out, we'll give you information. I mean, it's a great place, and I know many of you here in this auditorium are Rhema graduates, and there's Rhema graduates all over the world. 88,000 Rhema graduates ministering or just working, being a soldier for the Lord all over the world. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, turn around, air high five, air hug, whatever you want to need to do, people, and we'll see you back here 6 p.m. God bless you. Keep desiring.